Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
The Swine Health Information Center has released its June 2019 newsletter. How has the swine disease situation changed? What are the key factors that North American pork producers need to have on their radar, and why?
Of course, everybody is interested in African swine fever and the status of that around the world. But I want to make sure that we point out that within the newsletter, and that can be gotten simply by responding to the swinehealth.org website, within the newsletter we have both domestic and foreign animal diseases reported on, and it includes much more than the African swine fever. So for a general disease update, the reports that are in the newsletter certainly should help inform people. As far as African swine fever goes, it continues to move around Southeast Asia from China to other countries around Southeast Asia. Vietnam is experiencing a lot of outbreaks right now. We're working with Vietnam to help understand just what's happening in that country and why it's moving so quickly and how it associates with their type of production. North Korea even reported a first infection. So that's probably a good thing as a communications point. But we certainly expect that that virus will continue to move around Southeast Asia and continue to cause problems with the herd health in that area. In Poland, there has been an outbreak of African swine fever in a large commercial operation in eastern Poland. That's within the area that was already positive for African swine fever, so it doesn't affect their zoning and their zoning regulations with the European Union or with the U.S. So that's probably at least a silver lining around that cloud that there continues to be movement of the virus even in eastern Europe. With that, there are other things to pay attention to. Foot and mouth disease continues to move and continues to be endemic in certain areas of the world, and classical swine fever as well. And classical swine fever applies especially to Japan right now and how they're trying to control and eliminate an outbreak that occurred in central Japan that has moved from their wild boars or wild feral pigs into commercial operations there. So there's a lot of things that are going around the world, and we're continuing to keep an eye on it, to monitor it, not just for information and not just for knowing that it's happening, but also for helping to plan for response and prevention. The whole idea about being informed is to make sure that you're informed in such a way that can lead to actions, and that's the thing that we're most concerned about.
With regards to African swine fever, classical swine fever, and foot and mouth disease, how has the level of risk to North America changed, and what has been the response to that changing risk?
Well, certainly the pressure, and I think the way I term it is that there is increased pressure from African swine fever. We've been at risk of ASF, CSF, and FMD for decades, that they've been around the world and they've been endemic in different places, so we certainly have that risk. But for African swine fever, I think the circulation around the world, the circulation and the concentration of that virus in Asia, in China and Southeast Asia, as well as in Eastern Europe, increases the pressure that we have on the North American production, U.S. and Canada and Mexico, toward that virus or from that virus. So while we have been at risk, I believe the pressure from that virus is increased, and that leads to, even though we can't quantify it, I expect that means that that's an increased risk from that virus getting into the country. There's been a lot of talk among the North American countries, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, about how to prevent and how to coordinate and make sure that we're doing everything we can do as North American production to keep that virus out of the country. There have been the workshop that Canada organized in Ottawa a few weeks ago helped highlight that and helped underscore some of the cooperation and collaborations that are happening, and then also identify spots where we have to do better. So that's a good thing, and that's what we need to have. We've also worked with our agencies here in the U.S., the USDA and the Food and Drug Administration, to look at risk of introduction and risk, specifically risk of feed being transported that might be contaminated with the virus. So those things are happening, and we continue to look at mitigations that can that might be put into place in order to prevent that, and that includes holding times under different temperatures. It might include adding mitigant feed additives to the feed as it's milled, and that type of information on both of those things can be found also on the swinehealth.org website. So if anybody's interested in that, I'd certainly encourage that to happen. Go look at that information. Also, the other very important piece here is to have a discussion with the feed supplier and to talk to them about the safety of the components that they're importing and where they're coming from, and if at all possible, to import feed components from areas of the world that don't have these viruses endemic in those spots. And that certainly should help reduce any risk we have from that avenue of introduction into North America.
What are we seeing domestically in terms of infections at this point?
Well, we continue to monitor PERS and to monitor the endemic diseases like strep psoas and Zika virus. Things have been relatively quiet over the summer, as you could expect, over the last spring and early summer, as you'd expect with PERS, and that's a good thing. We are seeing some increased but sporadic reports of neurological diseases, of neurological viruses, and those continue at a very low level, but they certainly continue sporadically, and that's something that we've got to watch for as an emerging issue. It might be emerging on a farm, but what we're real concerned about is if this starts to emerge regionally or nationally and become a wider issue. Veterinarians have been fairly effective at managing those diseases on the farm, those outbreaks on individual farms, and keeping them contained. So we're always looking for things like that to happen in that domestic disease risk monitoring report that we send out once a month within the newsletter.
What should be top of mind at this point?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Bruce, top of mind for producers and for veterinarians should be biosecurity. And that is an issue that's going to affect not just endemic diseases, but also will help prevent foreign animal diseases like African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, and classical swine fever from coming into the country. Those viruses may very well enter the country, but if they aren't in contact with our pigs, we won't know it. And frankly, it won't cause any harm. But the issue here is biosecurity on the farm is that last hurdle for both endemic things like PERS, things like strep psoas, things like Zika virus, as well as foreign animal diseases, the African swine fever, classical swine fever, and foot and mouth disease. That's the last hurdle to prevent those things from getting to our pigs. And so biosecurity and reviewing the biosecurity practices with that type of international flavor in mind should be top of mind. That should be the highest priority. Not just if you have foreign visitors on your farm, which happens, but it happens infrequently. But more frequently, I think, will happen is that your workers may have contact with people that have had international travel. Maybe visiting with them, or maybe simply contact. Maybe there's some food item that has been transferred, even if that shouldn't happen, maybe it does. So you have to look at your biosecurity practices with an eye of how can I, on my farm, address international travel and international contacts, not just international visitors. So I think that's really important as a very important step to help keep those foreign animal diseases away from our pigs in the North American continent.
And is there anything you would like to add?
You know, Bruce, the last thing that I'd say is that for all producers, don't assume when you have an animal health event that you know what it is. Even though it might look like PRRS or it might look like salmonella, and that's what it was last time the doc came out and you found out what it was, this time it might not be. So don't assume when you have a mortality event on the farm that that's what it is. Get professional help all the time. Every time that you have a mortality on the farm, get a professional diagnosis. That's the only way we're going to be effective in preventing spread of a foreign animal disease should it enter. We want to catch it just as quickly as we can in order to prevent it from spreading to other places and affecting other farms. And getting that professional diagnosis is really important. Finally, it's important to also note that African swine fever is not a disease that affects people. It is only a disease of pigs, and there isn't any issue with food safety or any public health issue with African swine fever at all.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bruce. It's good to talk with you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For FarmSkip Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.